Walk on through the wind. Walk on through the rain. For your dreams beat us.
On Half Time, he's the gentle giant of Geelong. He's the big hairy cat. He's our man. Walk on with Cameron Mooney.
Walk on.
For O'Connell's, Melbourne's number one foodie pub.
Wait for it. He won't let you, Cam Mooney. He'll get you in a headlock and he'll drag you with him, as he does with me on a Tuesday every midday on that day. He's back again. Hello, Moons.
Hello, Half. Hello, everyone. Yeah, might have to change that song at the moment.
Oh, no.
Geez, they're poor at the moment, Liverpool.
Well, they only got beaten, what was it, 3-1?
3-1.
3-1.
The great man's last game at Anfield. They just rolled over and died for him. Horrendous. How was your weekend, buddy?
My weekend was good. Had a good weekend. Excellent. Busy, jam-packed weekend it was.
Well done to
you. I even played golf on the weekend. I don't play golf anymore. No. I didn't play very well. Let's not confuse that. But I did enjoy
it. The old twilight game in Brisbane. Got you the afternoon off, did it?
It did. It was a great result. Sunday morning, crystal clear morning. Up and about early. Golfed, came home, lunched, bike ride with the kids. Father of the year.
Oh, haven't you just put your
father
hand up?
Father of the year.
Give him the trophy now. Well, better than mine then, because I spent my weekend in Perth.
Mm.
Rain. Mm. Shocking. Red-eyed over to Brisbane.
Yes.
Got in at 5:30.
Right, you red-eyed to Brisbane?
Got in at 5:30 in the morning.
Oh, have a crap one.
And then got into Brisbane. Raining. Cold. Yuck. Then had to watch another terrible game.
What do you mean, terrible
game? I watched
terrible
two terrible games over the weekend.
You saw one of the great performances of recent memory.
Yes, a very good performance by the Lions.
Yeah.
Just a bad game all around, though. It was Porter in some serious trouble.
Well, I'd like to talk to you about serious strife. I want to focus a little bit on the Brisbane Lions initially, because you were there firsthand. I saw it on the box a bit flicking through the afternoon, because I was watching the victory game as well. But I want to talk about Port later on. Tell me about the Brisbane Lions, Moons. We were discussing them early in the season. Their first month of footy was bordering on pitiful.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, they've defeated the Blues. Now, that's not entirely difficult at the minute, but it's got their
confidence up.
It's
got mojo.
Moon's mojo. Who's got it? Who ain't? Brisbane certainly must have it.
Well, Brisbane right now have a lot of mojo. But yes, Port right now have completely lost theirs.
They have got nothing.
It is shocking, but tell you what, though, they were fantastic around the stoppages. And I don't know if we give Stephen Martin enough credit for the jump in his career over the last couple of years. I mean, he left Melbourne and look,
he was like a steak knife.
I was going to say, he was just thrown in there for good measure. Here you go, have this bloke. We don't want him anymore.
You can have him. We don't need
him. Melbourne like him at the minute? He has seriously turned himself into the top handful of ruckmen in the competition. His hit-outs, look, they got beaten in the hit-outs on the weekend with Lobie. He's very good at that, and Ryder. But around the ground, he took Ryder and Lobie to town.
Yep.
Absolutely killed them around the ground. Just the way he runs.
Versatile.
You're talking to big Johnny Brown. He's one of the strongest players that he's ever seen in the gym.
Is he?
And yet he's one of the fastest and best runners.
Powerful.
That he's seen in football. This is a
man
who's 6'6".
Stephen Martin.
Got it all, Steph. And the penny had dropped over the last, 18 months. And he's now seeing the game and now knows how to play the game. And he is playing very, very good football. But they were exciting.
Just had the 24 touches, Steph.
Yeah, just lazy 24 as a ruckman.
27 hit-outs, 24 touches. He nearly had more disposals than hit-outs for a ruckman. That's ridiculous.
Look, he's turning himself into a really fantastic player to watch. He really is. But look, everything they did was great on the weekend, Brizzy, and I think it probably started off with the run through the Brian the Lion.
Now, tell me about Brian. I mean, what sort of reaction? It's all about fan engagement 2015. I'm not sure that
all they miss now is a little bit of the smoke machine that's coming out of the mouth. The players run through.
Yeah.
That's all they're missing.
It's very NFL, isn't it?
And it would be maybe the greatest entrance into football. So, Brisbane, if you're listening,
smoke machine. Great idea.
All right, you've got to. As a player, you'd even want that, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
I think
I want it coming into work here.
I think Freeman will do it coming out of the race.
Do they? Smoke?
Now, someone could SMS in to see if I'm right or wrong there, but I think Freo do it, and I've seen Pav walk out a couple of times, just walking through the smoke, the big Pav, big beautiful man. Looks fantastic.
Always looks fantastic, the Pav. I would like to see some smoke.
Yes.
In fact, I'm keen for it here. When I open the door to come into the office, into the studio, there should be smoke just to get me through.
Get you through, get Kevin out.
Get bloody
just
Kevin
pass
out.
Each other through the smoke.
Trying
to
change the game again this morning, Kevin. Sick to death of that. So that's the Brisbane point of view. Who impressed you for the Brisbane Lions, Moons? Because it's been a really, as we mentioned before, really rough start to the season for them. Who stood up and said, it's time that I did something about that?
Well, look, Beams has just been a fantastic pick, and we always thought he was going to be. But you know, when you go into a new side, it can take you a little bit to get going. Well, he was brilliant again on the weekend. I thought he was best on ground. Louis Taylor played his best game all year, I thought. And the biggest one, I thought, was James H. Now, he's been in and out. There's been a lot of speculation about what he wants to do. I thought his first half in particular, when the game was really there to be won, was brilliant. Robertson, is his best game for the Lions by far. He's kicked three goals, but he's just, as we know, he's in and under work. Rich was great off the half back line as well. They didn't have too many losers on the day. I thought Paparone was his best game for a long, long time. He played a lot of footy, or he played virtually the whole day on Westhoff.
Yep.
Westhoff started the game brilliantly, had three possessions in 5 minutes and looked like he was going to tear the game apart. And wherever he went, Paparone went with him and in the end did a number on him.
Good coaching.
Good coaching.
Good matching up on one of the danger players, the Hoff, who hasn't been, in terms of Moons' mojo, the Hoff's sort of lost the mojo a bit, hasn't he, this season?
The Hoff has been right off at the minute. It's funny how I was thinking about it the other day. Now, with Ryder coming in, and you talk about, they can't keep the ball inside their forward 50 at the moment. As soon as he hits the ground, it's out of there.
Yep.
Now, is the fact that they've got three talls playing down there, now, yes, it can be great from a marking point of view, but if you're not marking the ball, well, the pressure on the ground isn't there virtually, so the ball's going straight out.
Well, wasn't that one of his great strengths? He's able to play the small man role better than
most big men. Yeah, but you throw Ryder in, you throw Schultz in, you throw Westhoff. Then Lobie's down there at times as well. He's resting down there when Ryder's in the ruck. It can happen. The ball's not staying inside their 50 at the moment. Their forward line pressure isn't great. They're allowing too many inside 50s down there because they're not taking the ball off through the middle of the ground because there's no pressure. A lot of things just aren't working for them right now. And maybe they've just, their work rate's really dropped off. Two-way running's really gone out the door at the moment.
Yep. Why do you think that is, that two-way running? I mean, that was a fundamental of their game, wasn't it? It was a real basic foundation of their game. Being able to get back and help and then fly through the middle of the ground with numbers.
Well, Ollie Wines has been a huge miss for them. I'm talking about a third-year player.
True.
And we're talking about arguably the most important player on their list. It's amazing what happens when you're out of a football side for a while, just how big your importance comes. But yeah, I just don't think they're working for each other. They're not doing the work rate they used to have last 2 years where they'd all push back and help each other out, and then you'd see them flowing through the middle of the ground in numbers. We're just not seeing that. And their inside 50s aren't as crisp as they used to be. Schultz really can't get his hands on the ball as far as on a lead and on a mark.
Yep.
Westhoff, as you spoke about, can't get his hands on the ball. He looks a little bit lost now with the fact that Ryder's down there or Lobie at times. Just not working for them, Daniel.
Tell me, you were speaking to Ken Hinckley, the coach of the Power, last Thursday on the run home, talking about the Kane Corns retirement, and you were talking about other issues as well through footy. You know him very, very well. He came out after the game and said it was the
very honest, wasn't he?
Team performance that he's been at. Mm. He's seen with that group as the worst performance under his reign there at the Power. What's this week in hold for the Power players after a performance like that and the feedback from the coach like that?
Well, no question he will be ruthless with them in their review, or he would have been probably yesterday, maybe today, because they had to fly home. So today's review would have been pretty horrendous for them.
Yep.
And he's the kind of coach that can give you a nice little clip with the left, but he also knows to give you a little bit of a cuddle with the right.
Right.
So he won't be missing any of the players, but he'll also make sure they walk out still confident, still give them the ability or the hope that they can, not the hope, the confidence to just keep taking the game on. I mean, that's what Kenny's greatest strength is. He wants you to take the game on. He wants you to be exciting. He wants you to be bold.
Yep. There's nothing bold about Port.
There is nothing bold at the moment. They are just gone right into their shells. But so he'll try to instill that into them. But he will be showing some edits and some clips from the weekend. He's going to say, you know what, this from Boak down to whoever, Gray, this is just not good enough.
Then to Carl Amon.
Yes.
Carl Amon. What a great story that was. Yeah.
Did you see that in the lead up?
I did.
That was unbelievable.
I did. Great effort just to be there on the park on the weekend for the Port Adelaide boys, but not to be a great storyline for the Power, but I'm sure we'll hear more about that through the week. 9429 1116 is the open line number. We'll go through the nominations and the winner of the Mooney Award for this week. For round seven in the AFL.
Bit of a change there too.
Change at the top. We always like a bit
like
of a change.
Talk a little bit about Eddie a bit later on too.
Talk a bit about Eddie. Don't say too much too early about the Moonies, the footy's most coveted award for score involvement. So Marty's in Melton on the open line, 9429 1116. He wants to have a chat to you, Moons. Hello, Marty.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Marty.
I want to talk about Friday night footy, but one quick thing, Moons, mate. On Saturday night, I sat up to 5 in the friggin' morning and watched that bloody debacle as well, mate. The only good thing about it was they at least showed the respect to hang around for Stevie and give him a good send-off.
Yeah, no, it was not a good result for him at all. If I was the oldest, I would have packed up and left and gone straight to LA. No need to play anymore.
That's enough for me.
What else, Marty? What's going on with Friday nights, mate?
Yeah, guys, seriously, man, can you, like, you know, got big opinions, this, that, whatever, you talk a lot of stuff. Can you get someone off in the AFL and get these Friday night games in Carlton changed? Because all week you look forward to Friday night coming home, watching a good game of footy. And, mate, we've got 6, 7, 8 games of absolute rubbish.
Well, I'm not sure there's too much you and I can do.
Well, no. We're a powerful man.
has been floated a lot about the, pardon the pun, floating fixture.
There we go.
Look, obviously not going to happen this year. Unfortunately, we're going to have some really bad games.
Last week said that probably not going to happen. They don't like the float.
Never going to float.
Clubs like certainty. They had a CEO meeting last week or the week before, whenever it was.
It was last week when they discussed the 17-5 fixture as
That's
well.
Right.
They don't like the float.
They like certainty. Clubs like certainty. That's what they like.
Yeah, fair enough.
So they can plan ahead and get things done. Which I understand.
But I think Kevin made a really good point before as well.
Kevin Barlow.
Because of the bigger Saturday games, it's left a lot of room open for more teams to play Friday nights. Obviously, they need to fill those gaps. Mm. Unfortunately, we've had some bad games. I think the weekend's game was probably the best result from a Friday night. It wasn't a great game as far as skill wise.
No.
At least we got a fantastic finish and a little bit of excitement.
We got plenty of contest, plenty of drama, plenty of excitement with the Kangaroos and the Bombers clash on Friday night. Thank you, Marty. We can't do much about that at the minute. And the Blues have got a few more.
But I feel your pain, though, Marty.
A few more up their sleeve, haven't they? As far as I'm aware, a few more Friday night action.
Well, they have Friday night this week against the great mighty Cats.
Who?
Yes, that's right, the mighty Cats. And then again next week they play Sydney up at the SCG.
Mm.
So.
It's a Geelong home game this week at Eddie Head Stadium, so the Cats fans will be happy about that.
So this is the one where we should be floating fixture. There's going to be, 25,000 there? No one. Carlton's probably going to go.
Well, the Cats will be keen.
They should take this down to Simmons Stadium.
Should they?
Yes, they should. Friday night down at Simmons Stadium this week.
Would that work?
Yeah, absolutely it would. Work for Geelong anyway.
Well, I don't mind. It's a home game, so they can play it where they like. But clearly, is it contractual obligation to play this game?
No,
for them?
Eddie Had needs a certain amount of games a year, and this is one of them.
Contractual obligation. Yes. Okay, so it's part of all the deal. Speaking of the Cats, thanks, Marty. Tom in Spotswood wants to talk about them. Hello, Tom.
Hi, boys. Moons, I just want to say that Stephen Wells has done it again. Corey Gregson is an absolute beauty. Cockatoo looks lively. And the match committee got in Mitch Clark, Stanley and Bleed, all of them have played senior footy this year. And Gore's been going really well in there too. So his first three picks this year will all be playing senior footy in their first year. And Thurlow, Lang and Buse look sensational as well. Very excited.
Yeah, he should be. Look, Wells, he doesn't get too many wrong. But the ones that he does get wrong, I used to remind him about all the time because everyone kept pumping his tyres up all the time. But he is a great man, Wells. He's a very smart football man. And you know, if you're a struggling club, God, you'd throw a suitcase at him just to try and get him across the line. Don't think he'd ever leave Geelong, but you would just try anything to get Wellsy because he is seriously one of the great ones out there.
Yeah, very good work. We know we've been on Corey Gregson for a while. We like our man Nakai Cockatoo as well. He's your man, I think. Moons, Nakai Cockatoo. So there's plenty of young talent. There's a bit of a gap in the middle at the minute for the Cats, I reckon. And then that top end is... it's coming towards the end.
Yes, very much so.
So it's an interesting phase for the Geelong Footy Club.
Well, it will be. And it'll be That's probably the best word to describe it, interesting. You just don't know which way it's going to go at the moment. They've got some really good talent there with some kids. They've still got the Selwoods and Hawkins kind of guys. Mitch Clark's now come in. They've got that age bracket okay.
Yep.
But like you said, there's nothing between really 22 to 25.
Stay on the line, Tommy. Like your work, two bottles of wine, one red, one white, thanks to AR Property Investments coming your way. Chris is in Murrumbina. G'day, Chris.
Oh, g'day, Half and Cam. I just wanted to talk about the Pies.
Yep.
Just wanted to get your thoughts on where you think they're at the moment after two losses, and they started the season quite well. I'm not sure where they're at.
Well, again, they had one of those draws. We talked about the draw, which the AFL did extremely well. But I think we always said you're not going to find out how the season's going for the competition until halfway mark.
Yep.
When every team starts to really cross over as far as the top six, middle six, and the bottom six. So look, they started
still
well. They can only
month.
Do what they did. They've given themselves an absolute massive chance to still play finals football. And who have they got this week?
They got Gold Coast at Metricon this week. Their next
look,
month
win.
Is actually
they'll
pretty
win
good.
That. They will win. Like, they're still playing some pretty good football.
Well, they need to win this.
They will win that. Gold Coast are so bad at the moment. Gold Coast it's not smell. Funny. They've got eight of their probably best 10 players out with through injury or with May suspension. They are just sitting in a really bad hole at the moment, the Suns. Now, if Collingwood don't win this one, then I will just say, yeah, their season's right off. But they will win this week, the Pies.
I'm still yet to be convinced about the Magpies. They're sitting 4-3 at the moment.
But they're not going to be a top four side.
But this next month, what about this? This isn't bad for them. They could be, 4-3 now? Should be 8-4 by, or 8-3 by round 12, or 7-3 by, 7-4 by round 11. Gold Coast this week at Metricon. North Melbourne at the MCG, that's going to be a real test. I mean, that's what we'll find out a bit more about the Magpies, that game.
But let's say North on that one.
Yep. So what's that? That's 5-4. Then they've got Melbourne at the MCG. You want to bring
I'll
that
give,
one.
I'll give them that.
That's 6-4. Then they've got the Giants at the MCG, and they want to win that. Now, the Giants are sitting 5-2 ahead of the Magpies at the moment, 4-3. But if they're serious finals contenders, you'd want to beat the Giants at the MCG, wouldn't you, for Collingwood?
Well, yes, you'd want to, but the Giants are pretty exciting at the minute.
I haven't got them in the top final eight. The back half of their year is much more difficult than the front half of their year.
Which was always going to be the case on the back of the draw at the start, wasn't it?
Mm. But they're up and about early. Give themselves a chance. If you can get early wins in this competition,
it
takes a lot of pressure
chance.
Off. Telling me there's a chance. Thank you, Chris. We will see what happens with the Mighty Magpie. Stay on the line. You have got... Thanks to Cameron Mooney, a $100 dining voucher to O'Connell's Hotel in South Melbourne, Melbourne's number one foodie pub, Chris. That's for being a part of Midday Moon on Halftime. Cameron Mooney is with us, the biggest of the Hairy Cats, triple premiership player, big part of our SEN footy team, of course, and you can catch him on Fox Footy these days as well, doing awesome things.
Well, thank you very much. I did speak about it just before the break. We'll go into the Dogs Ruckman. But before we do, we'll touch on West Coast.
What's happened to West Coast?
It was over there. Look, that was a fair...
You were over there.
Big, big result for them. And sitting second, what are they? 5-2.
5-2.
Another nice draw, but the win at Port was unbelievable 2 weeks ago, even though Port aren't playing it well. Still a big win. You look at their draw now going up to the bye. I've given them a couple of ticks and crosses here.
You've given them.
They could be 8-4. Is that right?
Yeah, you've given them three more wins and two losses. You think they'll beat St Kilda this week at Etihad? Then they'll beat the Cats. You've tipped them against your Cats.
Well, that's over there. They're very good over there.
Oh, he's jumped off. This will be news in the Advertiser. then they'll lose to North at Blundstone Arena, you think, and then win back at home against the Bombers. And then lose to Richmond at the
MCG.
Well,
that's still a 50-50, that one. I've just given a loss just to...
So you've given them another three, which has them 8-4 at the break. That's a very good result.
That's a massive result, considering I don't think too many of us would have had them in the top eight this year.
No, I certainly did not.
So doing well. No. Considering their back line was depleted. I mean, Simo would have gone to bed at round one, before round one, going, how am I going to stop goals? I'm going to get 110 goals a game, 110 points kicked against me every game. But they have been brilliant. They even had young McGovern out on the weekend. Now, I know the conditions weren't great and Suns aren't playing well, but their back line has just been holding up brilliantly. Their midfield...
The numbers from the weekend were extraordinary.
I mean, Pritis was just... There was a time there in the second quarter where I'm pretty sure the Suns boys thought Pritis was playing for them. They kicked it to him four or five... Just, here you go, Pritis, have another kick. It was shocking. But he absolutely destroyed them. Gas playing great footy. Shuey, you know, Nat Nui's not getting... He's never going to be the big possession like a Stephen Martin. But
no.
But his work around the ground is still pretty good. He's giving them first use.
34 hit-outs.
And up forward, You know, Kennedy, it's amazing how we talk about, you know, throwing Kennedy and Darling. We thought, yeah, this is a great forward line. It's exciting. Now, Darling's gone out. You thought, geez, where are they going to kick their goals? It's amazing what happens when somebody goes out, when someone else steps up even more.
Mm.
Now, Kennedy, we already know, was a star.
Yep.
His season so far has been extraordinary.
He's a fantastic talent, Josh Kennedy. Has been for quite some time. He's dominated against the lesser teams.
The club has dominated against the lesser teams. So
they still had a very good year. Don't get me wrong.
So what does their second half of the year look like?
The lesser teams.
I know we're doing this on the fly here.
No,
sorry.
But this is good. I like doing this sort of stuff. Melbourne and Darwin.
So this is after the bye.
This is after the bye. So okay. Who knows what that means? Adelaide at home. Collingwood here. Eddie had Sydney at home. So what are you giving them? Two of them?
Yeah.
That's 14 and... Sorry, 10 and 6.
But they're obviously playing the big teams on the back.
And they finish with Gold Coast away, Hawthorne home. Three at home in a row. Hawthorne, Freo and the Bulldogs. That's an advantage.
Yes.
They'll make the finals. West Coast will make the finals.
They have to make the finals now, surely. You have to then go on to make the finals.
Which would be an unbelievable tick for the way they've set their team up, as you say, because they've lost just about all their defence prior to round one. They kept the Gold Coast to 6 goals on the weekend in difficult conditions, but they managed to find the big sticks 21 times.
Mm-hmm.
That's a remarkable performance by West Coast.
No, done well, Simo. Look, they're playing an attacking brand of football. Their kicking skills, which we questioned, that's obviously worked extremely hard with that over the summer. They're doing that really well at the moment too. But let's get on to the Bulldogs.
Yes, Bulldogs ruck situation.
And it was funny. It was funny to watch. I didn't obviously see the game. I've seen bits and pieces and all those types of things. But to have Bontempelli, have Goods, have Kobe Stevens going up against the big man, and in the end they only lost the stoppages by five. Lost the clearances by five.
Clearances by five. Weekend. Yep.
It was an interesting initiative, wasn't it?
Because
You're never going to win the hitouts. Okay, so what they do, they threw Cordy forward, which means the big boys had to go and play on Cordy and Boyd, who got off the chain.
50 hitouts for Sandilands. 50.
is that his career best? Wouldn't be his career best, would it?
What about the top hitout winner for the Bulldogs on the weekend?
Three.
Three. Boyd. Ace Cordy and Tom Boyd had three apiece. Let's be serious. I mean, it just goes to show that teams that don't have strengths in certain areas can find a way to compete if you just have the courage to be a little bit more lateral, Moons, and try something different. Now, it's not always going to be, not going to work every time,
no.
But you're going to lose that battle regardless of who your ruckman is. You might have Ben McAvoy, you could be, big Ivan Marich. You're going to lose that ruck battle anyway against Sandilands.
The question was, what was the advantage that we could get? From a Bulldogs point of view, well, that means they got another runner around the stoppage area.
Yeah.
Now, this is the one thing I don't get, though, with Sandilands or with Freo. They're so, not predictable, but why just keep hitting it in close if this is the case?
Mm.
Why not try something different, especially if you're in the middle of the ground? He could thump that ball 25 metres going forward or, you know, on a 45 and just have them running onto the ball that way. And yet they still just keep hitting it in close. I know it's predictable for them. But when you know he's going to win 100% of the hitouts every time.
Yep.
Why not just bash the thing forward and get an advantage that way?
Even just every
why
now
not
and then,
be unpredictable
to change the dynamics? Have the opposition
because then
thinking.
You're taking away what the Bulldogs wanted was that in close around the ball they had their extra number around ground level.
Yep.
I just think they've got to be a little bit smarter with Sandilands if he's going to have an opponent that's not a ruckman on him.
We said that 7-0.
Yeah, yes, it's working okay for them. But down the other end, obviously, we're talking about Cordy Boyd going down forward. It meant Young. Oh, God, I've just gone a complete blank. Who's kick 7?
When?
For the Dogs.
Oh, Dixon.
Dixon.
Torrey Dixon.
Tors. So he kicked 7. So, look, it just about worked for them. So, well done for the Bulldogs for trying something a bit new. But, again, I would like to have seen Freo just be a little bit more inventive, a little bit more attacking. When you get those chances, you got to take them.
Got to take them. Bulldogs still lost, says someone off the SMS.
Yes, we know that.
Something's working. No, not a bad point. Max in Dandenong is going to pick us up, I think, on one of our discussion points before. G'day, Max.
Oh, good afternoon, gentlemen. Moons.
Yes.
Be very careful with your ticks and crosses, mate, because this season has been unbelievable.
Correct.
And there is no certainties, my friend. with West Coast in particular, because the Saints just might roll them as Richmond might roll Port.
No, very good call, Max, but it's what we like to do on radio. We like to put ourselves out there and like to get ourselves shot down if it happens.
Hey, Max raises very good points. It's been a very difficult year for tipping and being certain with your selections of teams any given week.
Well, my tippings have been Scheisenhausen since probably round three.
Most of the population's in the same boat, I think, Moon. Max's point is absolutely valid. To predict anything outside of this week is folly.
Well, the weekend was virtually the only weekend for a few weeks that we hadn't had until the last game, the big upset.
Yep. Yeah, and Richmond beating Collingwood was a massive upset.
Yeah, it wasn't
an upset.
It wasn't a massive upset,
but the Brisbane Lions' performance against Port certainly threw a fair few people off their tucker.
Correct.
Thank you, Max. Fair point indeed. Elmore Oil Pack coming your way. The Muscle Lake Cream, the arthritis relief. Hope you don't need that very soon. But it's coming your way. Stay on the line. We'll get your details. 13-1, we'll get to a break. After that, we'll go through the Mooney Award for round 7. Some terrific performances individually. And a really tight battle at the top for the season award from our good friends at Champion Data for score involvement.
Been very good again today, Luffy, with some stuff he's thrown
some
to
really
us.
Good. Now, last week it was tap-ons, and KB wasn't happy about the tap-ons stat.
Wasn't he just disgusted with our tap-ons?
Have you got something for KB today that he'll enjoy?
Well, it's more about a certain young guy. I don't know if you heard him. Eddie.
What you doing, Eddie Betts? Yes. But Jimmy in South Morang wants to talk quickly on the open line. G'day, Jimmy.
Hey, g'day, fellas. How you going?
Going well.
Jimmy. Well, I'm a Carlton supporter, and for years, Carlton's been crying out for a leader in the team, sort of like a Luke Hodge or a Jonathan Brown. Yeah, when it comes to draft day, they should put everyone on the table besides Henderson, Murphy, Yaron. Everyone else should be on the table. They should go out and search for a player that, spits blood, itches, scratches, tackles, does everything possible to get that ball. Yeah. That's what kind of players Carlton need. I watched a movie called Draft Day with Kevin Costner.
Oh,
and
yes.
there's a motto there where he gets a player where he's got a chance to get the most fanciest player or the one that's got the biggest heart. He went for the boy with the biggest heart, and that's what Carlton should do.
Well, Moons wants to get them another 4 extra first-round picks next 2 years. That's what we're trying to orchestrate with from the Mooney files.
And look, and guys like Hodge and Brown and Selwood and don't come along very often, those type of leaders.
No.
And sometimes you don't really see that even as a 16- to 18-year-old. They can take a little bit of time. But that's exactly what Carlton need. Carlton need a lot of things.
that certainly is one of those.
And for more reports, Big Sauce has gone in there with his blueprint is how we're going to fix up the club. And
this is us.
Hopefully for their sake, it works.
It's going to take some time, though.
Take some time.
Thank you, Jimmy. Let's go to the Moonies for round 7, Moons. Who are your top 5 or your top, probably with ties, top 8?
Well, we have the top player from the weekend was, surprise, surprise, a guy who's probably going to be winning all awards at the end of the year.
We might ban him from this one.
Had 15 score involvements on the weekend. Young Roughhead, who's just cruising along nicely, Ruffy, at 14. Walker.
Young Ruffy, Ruffy's about 86.
Yes, I know. I do love him. Texie Walker had 13, Shields 13, and Kennedy and Hanbury 13 apiece as well. So they were the leaders from the weekend.
Righto, okay, which means Nat 5's our round 7 winner.
He is our round 7 winner.
Congratulations, the first time he's won a round of the Moonies.
Now, the young man just decided to put himself in front position too for the season.
Stop it.
Fife with 69 score involvements, Roughhead with 68, Kennedy and Franklin on 65 apiece.
Who's in fifth position there?
Well, some guy who's just having a pretty good couple of years, young Eddie Betts.
What you doing, Eddie Betts?
What you doing, Eddie Betts? I'll tell you what he's doing. He's destroying the competition. Now, we've just gone through a couple of stats thanks to our great man, Luffy, down at Champion Data.
Yes.
Now, 184 games at Carlton, 290 goals, average of 1.6.
Right.
He kicked 5 goals or more 5 times.
At Carlton?
At Carlton. Now, what he's done over in Adelaide, extraordinary. 29 games.
How many times did he kick 5 more?
Only 5.
5 or more?
5 times he kicked 5 or more goals.
You sure?
Well, that's Luffy.
Sure it's not 10?
No, this is at Thingo, isn't it?
Carlton. At Carlton, he kicked bag of 5. 10 times.
I thought it was the other way around.
5 plus 10 times.
I thought it was the other way around.
Well, no, 10 times. But you played 184 games.
Okay, we're going to go.
So it's 1 in 18, effectively.
So already he's kicked 5 at Adelaide.
5 at Adelaide in 29 games, which is 1 in 6.
Well, good one, Luffy. I misread that.
That's pretty clear on the email.
Well, my email's changed. But he's averaging 2.7 goals a game already at Adelaide. He has been absolutely phenomenal.
Now, in fairness to the Blues on this one, he was sitting next to Brendan Favola for a fair bit of that, for the start of his career anyway, trying to get a kick.
So Fev probably took a little bit too much inside 50?
Well, everything went to Fev. He owned the 50. There was no other players, effectively, in Navy Blue once the ball went inside forward 50 than Brendan Favola. He just owned that arc. So he's probably holding him back a touch.
Yeah, probably a little bit. But he's been extraordinary since he's gone over to Adelaide.
It's been a great coup. It's been a great recruiting coup. And we know.
But it was
now
a big weekend for score involvements. We had 22 players with 11 to 15 score involvements this weekend.
That's good numbers.
And we know about the big blowouts this week.
Yeah, well, that's a very good point you raised. That we want scoring in the game, but we don't want blowouts.
It's going to be disappointing if Fife wins it at the end of the year, because we don't want the Brownlow getting in the way of the Mooney.
Overshadowing the Mooney.
No, like, it would be disappointing for him to get up there and win the Brownlow and then get a little letter in the mail from SEN. That would just destroy it.
I don't think it could. I don't think any player in the game would put the Brownlow above the Mooney.
Well, I wouldn't have thought so.
No, it'd be very difficult for anyone to do that.